episode of the Hell Attire Podcast. I am your host, Peruge, Bubba McComb, a.k.a. Willy Wonka's Wonder, a.k.a. the Weeping Willow, a.k.a. Walmart's favorite shopper. Again, thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to our sponsors at Kova Coffee Roasters. Head over to kovacoffee.com and use KOVA5, the code, to get $5 off your purchase. In the studio today, I have a very, very special young man. You may know him as Baby Boy. You may know him as Tuberculosis. But most people will know him as Mr. Tristan Bowling.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Tristan. How are you today, man?
Doing fantastic.
And right off the bat, I just want to make sure everyone knows where they can find you. Please let everybody know what your Instagram and Facebook is, please.
When I am not whispering into a microphone for expert mouthfeel and really making sure that my my lips are wet enough, I'm just gonna let me moisten my lips.
I know. I need a way wetter mouth to be effective at this.
I need chapstick.
All right, everybody, Tristan Bowling in the studio. What is up, dude?
What's up?
That was very sensual. I don't know if the listeners enjoyed that, but guess who doesn't give a fuck?
This guy. Oh, yeah.
Well, you too?
I mean...
I don't care either. That was great.
I had a lot of fun myself.
Yeah, that was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, if you don't know Tristan Bowling is a comedian out of Phoenix, Arizona. Well, I guess, you know, Goodyear, Buckeye area, but aren't we all?
Yeah.
Aren't we all somewhere not from Phoenix? So we're out of Phoenix. In the podcast, quote-unquote, studio, Hella Tired, this man has been doing comedy for approximately, over 4 years, you said, right? Since you were 16?
Yeah.
Over five now.
No, it's coming up on five.
Okay, coming up on five.
Yeah.
And now, Tristan just recently turned 21, so if you can do the math, he's been doing stand-up comedy since he was 16, since he was just a little baby boy, dude.
Holy shit, a baby boy.
And we're going to get into that. And lately, he's been really, really killing it. He's recently gotten some very, very nice acknowledgement from the people over at the Comedy Store and the people that run Kill Tony.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been invited back to whenever he feels like fucking coming down. And it's a very big moment for him. Everyone's excited for Tristan. And here we are to further discuss his plans to take over the world.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Total world domination. First off, no Jews.
Right. You know what? Okay, what about Avery Archer, though? Because I feel like he kind of feels bad about being a Jew sometimes. Are those the kind of Jews you want involved?
Let's put a pin in it.
Okay, we'll come back to it.
Yeah.
For sure, no Jews from Tristan Bowling so far to start things off proper.
Yeah,
Minute three already, no Jews.
No Jews, put that on a shirt.
I wonder, there's just no way that could happen and be okay, huh?
Yeah, can you say, I hate Jewish people in a progressive way?
I think you can say whatever you want. But,
I mean, like, I.
But then what happens when someone goes, what the fuck do you mean, Tristan Bowling? How do you progressively hate an entire race? What would you say? Not even a race. I take that back. What are they? Just a fucking denomination?
Well, they're rats.
A religion?
Oh my God. I'm fucking kidding so hard. My cousin's Jewish.
Oh my God.
I have a Jewish girlfriend.
I know, but you know what?
I feel terrible. I'm 2% Jewish.
Hey, man.
I love everybody. I just wanted the shock value.
Oh,
I'm a dirty,
yeah.
dirty boy.
No, that's great.
I'm a
that's getting boy. Clipped for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Put
yeah.
that in a
Not going to have to work for anything on this episode.
Okay.
speaking of Jews, dude, I have no money. Right now, I'm going through the
why does that have to do with Jewish people?
Just money in general, because they're very, very good at handling and distributing.
That's anti-Semitic.
I don't think so, man. It's just an observation, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? What is anti-Semitic? It doesn't have anything negative to do with Jewish people. It's just like, yeah, you guys are really good.
Guys, what does anti-Semitism even mean?
There's no negative connotations attached. If anything, it's a stereotype, which I am completely okay with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, stereotypes are. You know, there's a lot of them that don't make the cut to be lighthearted and funny, but there are some, like, you know, Jewish people know how to save money. It's just a thing.
Yeah, probably.
It's just a thing. And not all, the majority, just like any stereotype, doesn't include everybody. So if you're a Jewish guy like me and don't have any money.
Are you Jewish?
No.
Oh.
I'm saying, like, if you're a Jewish guy and you're like me, that I don't have any money, then, you know, you're not alone. At least, you know.
Yeah, it's very true.
You're doing just as good as someone who doesn't believe in Judaism, so I don't know what that is.
My dad's not Jewish, but he basically went on birthright when he was 18. He spent
a strip club tour. His dad took him.
No.
All right, boy. This is the American birthright. I'm going to take you to Georgia.
We're going to Atlanta. We're getting lemon pepper wet.
The chicken wings and titties are A1.
If you ask for blue cheese, I'm hitting you with a manhole cover.
Can't call them manhole covers anymore, dude.
Sorry, genderless hole
Come
cover.
Come on, dog. It's called a fucking... I'm just kidding, dude. I don't know. That's
maintenance
just,
hole.
Maintenance hole. There you go. There you go. I'm all about, you know, supporting that agenda, supporting the fucking anything progressive. But manhole, it's like, okay.
We could have went without doing that one, right?
Like, you know, let's get the pronouns right. Let's respect everybody, but a manhole...
I don't feel like any man is empowered when he looks at a manhole.
Exactly, or even when it's said.
Yeah.
It's a gateway to the shittiest place on the earth, literally, which is the sewer.
Yeah, the door to a dumpster.
So is it more accurate that it's called a manhole
and remains
a manhole? I feel
like it's more accurate to be a manhole. Yeah. Like, I feel like that kind of complements it pretty well because it is... a crevice in which only vile lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a literal 50 to 60 pound portal to the underworld of terrible things.
Yeah.
And if that's not a manhole, I don't know what is, Tristan Bowling.
I don't know what. I've met a lot of manholes.
Me too. I've met a lot of people that look like they lived in manholes.
I probably have. I've been inside
you've
of a manhole.
You've actually looked like you've worked in a manhole before at one point in time. I forget. Oh, yeah. It was your outfit on the second appearance of Kill Tony. You look like a plumber.
But a
swaggy plumber, though.
Swag plumber.
And, you know, you had a little dilemma with the orange or yellow belt. You couldn't make a decision. And, dude, I was there to help you out, and you rocked it, bro.
I brought three belts that trip.
Dude, the only people that were hating on your fucking... swag was everyone that was with us, dude.
Yeah.
And the moment you got around other people who knew what the fuck they were doing, they're like, dude, this is fucking lit. This is a sick fit. And you're like, yeah, I know.
Because I don't wear it for you.
Because you know who was hating, dude, that I didn't appreciate? Fucking Joshua Harrison, man.
Joshua Harrison. Wait, do you mean backwards hat, t-shirt, jeans?
Right. The guy who looks like he's in a commercial for Gap. Like, all right, okay. Or not even Gap. He looks like he's in a commercial for something that has nothing to do with clothing. Because he never wears brand anything.
No.
Or hardly even a design. He just looks like a generic back to school guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah. I said this at the roast that we were on last night. Josh looks like he has a community college class called Maximizing Your GED.
Yes, dude. That was hilarious, man. Quick shout out to Alice Valpy again for
that
putting
was an
that on.
Amazing show.
That was, I haven't been to like a ton of like roast themed shows, but that was the most hype I've seen a roast get. Like, that I've been around.
You put on a good show for your Life Health Tire podcast. I forgot about that. Thank you, Josh Harrison.
Well, thank you. That roast, you know, you're right. You're right, man. I don't give myself no credit. That roast for the live podcast was fantastic. You guys did such a good job, dude.
It was also Josh broke it down to me because he mentioned that me and Courtney had to come up with twice the amount of jokes.
I know, because of the way
we were setting it up.
I know.
I didn't even think about
that. That's my fault too. Like,
but
things had to happen for me to know how to do it.
I didn't
next
do
time.
Bad.
No.
It was a lot of fun.
But it stretched you though. It stretched you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but you handled it like a professional.
Dude, I remember that who's your friend?
Chris Gotti, yeah.
The girl?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, the girl who went up.
What are you talking about? The girl comedian?
No, the lady who went up to get roasted.
Oh, yeah, Lauren.
Lauren.
My friend Lauren Don Levy, aka Ghost Lauren.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was a great sport, dude.
Yeah, I think I said to her that cause she was wearing like this gray in white shirt.
Right.
And I said she looks like the girl who ate the boy in the striped pajamas.
Right. Because it was a vertical striped shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. That was a great night. I'm trying to set it. I'm not even trying, dude. I'm not going to lie to anybody out there. I want to set up another one. It's just I have no excuse. Guys, if you know and listen to the podcast on any regularity, you know that I just go through lots of peaks and valleys, man, with, you know, depression and, like, feeling motivated and actually being proactive in things and yada,
honestly,
yada, yada.
When it comes to some of the most motivated people, I think you're one of them in the Phoenix.
Well, dude, that's awesome. And I really do feel like I'm motivated when I'm motivated. You know what I mean? Like, and I try to share my feeling and, like, you know, like want to progress, but there's just times where I'm just like, dude, I don't know, man. It's just like, I don't even know why I can't just make a fucking phone call to try and book the next one.
Yeah, you're like, you're like Thomas Eppolito, but like good.
Oh my god. Oh my god. No. Don't ever talk shit about Thomas Eppolito on this podcast.
Oh yeah.
No, that guy.
I love Thomas.
Me too,
Eppolito.
Man. Have you seen his fucking? I was talking about this last night or two nights ago with.
Stina, are you going to say, comedian. Have I seen the same 5 minutes that he does every time he gets on stage? Because,
no,
yeah, I've seen it.
No, Tristan, that's how you get good at the set you're working on, all right?
I know.
I'm learning, bro.
Fucking no.
I know. Pooping but on. Have you seen, you had to have seen the way he fucking writes his jokes, right? Like, how he, like, times everything by the millisecond and, like, he records his jokes audibly, but then, like, writes it out like fucking sheet music.
Really?
And like where it didn't work and how long exactly was the applause and how exactly long is each fucking part of
That's
the joke.
Crazy, man.
Dude, it looks like a math equation. And I have like
it
fucking
is.
Tip my hat to that guy because I could never be that meticulous and be actually doing something better for myself.
I feel like if anyone could properly maybe put out like... Not even like a comedy class, but just like tutorials on
sure.
how to do stand-up comedy and
sure.
stuff like that.
Like how to start.
Like, yeah. What
yeah,
are the
yeah,
because
yeah.
there's a lot of common misconceptions with starting stand-up, and I guess there's really no right way to do it.
Well, and so before we, I really want to get into this conversation because I'm a new comedian and
yeah.
anything I want to absorb. But before we do, take a quick second to light up this organic Arizona green tobacco here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wait, we both have our cards. What are we talking about?
Yeah,
we're going to
yeah.
smoke some weed, guys.
We're going to smoke some weed, yeah.
You know, this consumption of marijuana is completely legal. Me and Tristan Bowling are both Arizona card holders.
Arizona card
so
holders.
So don't you worry about a damn thing.
Don't you think.
So
don't
now.
Don't you fret. We're going to get high, and you better bet. Bow, bow.
Don't get too high. All right.
So, that was fun.
A couple questions. Now,
tell me, you, me, Dustin, and Joshua Harrison shouldn't start a comedian a cappella group.
I'm very down, and we should.
Oh, dude, we.
Oh,
could...
and Derek has a very good voice too, though.
Does he?
He does.
Oh my goodness!
No
I
one
did
really knows.
Really?
But once he gets loose and starts singing karaoke, dude,
he gets in it.
Yeah, he does. He's pretty good. I can't lie.
Do you know
so
what
we should
do?
We should do one. We should for sure do a comedy karaoke group, dude. Or not karaoke, acapella.
Dude, how
group.
About this? Acapella roasting.
That could be cool.
Like,
but it would have to be a show, though. We
yeah.
couldn't include anyone else. That would be way too hard to do if you just can include anyone, right?
Yeah.
Like, people would have to know how to do that to be funny. Because if that not working isn't even funny, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to watch.
Yeah, so we would have to really put that together. I think we could, too. But again, it's just taking the time to sit down and formulate things. I don't know why that's so hard for me sometimes, dude.
When it comes to the aspect of like music and stuff like that, I feel like it's even harder.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's easy just to goof around and talk about stuff that's
funny. And accidentally
funny.
Say something funny and have a new joke.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's easy for something to just pop in your head. But like if you and your boys are like trying to formulate a song and shit like that, and
yep.
each one of them has like a choreographed part, I can see where like, dude, when I was younger, I wanted to be in, do you know the Dapper Dance at Disneyland?
No.
There's an acapella group that walks around Disney. And they do all these songs and stuff like that. And I was like, for a while, I was just like, dude, I'm just going to move to Anaheim. I'm going to be a Dapper Dan.
That's your fucking dream.
Dude.
But it makes complete sense, though.
Just singing, performing.
I feel like you've never had like a regular goal. Like, not regular as in like anyone else has, but I don't think you've ever wanted to be something typical. Am I right?
No.
Never.
No. When I was, the first thing I ever wanted to be when I was a kid was a paleontologist.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how's that going?
Not great.
Oh, no.
No, it's not.
You got me out of bed, sorry.
Yeah.
I fucked myself over. I shouldn't have asked that question.
Yeah.
Mid-poll, dude. Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not but great. I was just super into Jurassic Park and Indiana Jones.
Of course, as one would.
So just like digging up stuff. Trying to see, like, I found so many sharp rocks. I'm like, this is for sure a dinosaur tooth.
Is this an arrowhead?
Is this?
Was this used on a bow and arrow back? I don't know.
Yeah, dude. I always thought that she was so
That's tight, though, man.
I love dinosaurs.
We got plenty, of time, man. Eventually, you'll be making enough money off comedy to dive into a second passion during the day. And you can pick whatever the fuck you want to do, man.
Do you know what I'm probably going to do?
Huh?
Horror stuff. Like probably like horror movie shit.
What do you mean? Like directing, creating,
like creating,
reviewing?
Okay. Like creating and stuff.
That's
like
what's up,
that. Like, I'm really into cinematography.
It's a beloved genre.
Yeah.
That is for sure. And they're making it a lot easier for someone to be able to create something that looks great without becoming bankrupt.
Yeah, A24.
Which is really cool. Oh, my favorite film studio,
bro. It's my favorite
bro.
Film studio of all time.
Oh, my. They do... Everything they do, man, is...
So good.
And here's the thing.
It has a different layer to it.
You said it. There's just something about... what they do in their movies.
You can tell they care.
It's just like my favorite movie now. No, I'm sorry. My favorite horror film, hands down, is The Witch. It scared the living shit out of me, dude. And then now, with Midsommar, are you kidding me?
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Is it good? I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God, Tristan. It's so good, dude.
Is it really good? I heard that something happens in the first 5 minutes. It's like crazy.
It's just like a good movie. There's no movie like that. It's not a horror. It's not even really a thriller because there's no, like, I cannot describe it, dude. It's just a really good movie, especially if you've ever done psychedelics in your entire life at all.
Yeah.
You know exactly what they're referring to in that movie and what it looks like and why it looks like that. And it's just fucking great, dude.
Yeah, dude.
And it's funny. There's a lot of hidden comedy in that.
Yeah, really?
There truly, truly is. I laughed a few times, like, out loud in that movie. And I don't understand how someone can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just geniuses over there, bro.
Dude, it's so... I have, I've always been creative writing and stuff like that. Like, I was in a creative writing class in high school. Unfortunately, I joined the class late into my high school career.
It's okay.
And I didn't get to finish it because, like, I was 2 weeks into my senior year, second semester, and then I dropped out. And that's when I started taking it. So,
cool guy.
Yeah.
Cool so guy. Sick, dude.
Not sick. it's like running the majority of a race and then just quitting right before you hit the finish line.
I was... absolutely sarcastic, by the way.
Quitting
quitting high school in your senior year is literally exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know what? I think I'd rather not finish at the finish line.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to stop walking and look at the finish line.
Were you behind in credits or anything dismal like that? Okay.
Yeah, I had to pass every class that I was doing.
Well, it's not very hard, but...
Yeah,
I get but it. No, I know. So here's the thing. Here's the weird thing about high school, man. And I'm sure, obviously, you can really. You're a lot closer to that than I am. But high school is easy if you just fucking care a little bit.
I didn't just, though. I know. I was doing comedy since sophomore year.
Exactly.
And I knew that's what
I didn't care
to do.
About school either, dude. I was a C and B student, D my whole life. I was like, I knew the shit they were teaching me wasn't going to be. Generally applicable. Okay, I know how to speak and read and write and do basic math. Please teach me better shit now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know this sounds really unpopular, but I don't give a fuck about history.
I love history, dude.
I don't care about it at all. It's honestly not that it's not interesting. I'm not saying, like, it's fuck history, it should be abolished. I'm nothing like that. It's just, I don't care. Like, I'm just one of those people that is just like, cool, it happened. You know, is this the result of that? No? Okay, then why are we fucking learning about it? Like, was it a pivotal moment in the world? Then why do I know about this thing?
I guess the history, like, the reason why I like history a whole lot is just because of... the fact that it's all true stories, you know? It's all fact. I mean...
Just like the Bible.
Very true. Very true. thank you to our Lord Jesus Christ for blessing us with this blunt.
And the Bible, dude.
And the Bible, dude. Sorry. GB Crease.
Come on, man.
Sorry.
Anyways, proceed.
In God's name we pray. It's just true stories. And, like, I just think it's really interesting. It's like, holy fuck, that happened. Like, it sounds like it's fiction, but it's not. It's real.
Right.
But at some point, like, I don't trust, like, if I had a kid right now in history class, right. I'd just be like, don't trust most of the shit in the books. Like, it's written from, like, I wish there was a universal perspective.
Right.
Version of history books where it's just like, instead of telling you like what we did, not even like what we did, it's like, instead of telling us like, oh, here's what happened on our side, it's like, oh, here's what happened.
Yes,
it's like, here's just
the full
facts.
Scope.
Yeah,
instead of selective history is what we would call that one. And America has a disgusting past, and even
did
now
you hear about the tapes released with Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon.
No.
So, sorry for blowing.
And that's what I'm saying. Oh, no, you're good, dude. And I'm going to listen to what you say, and it's not going to change anything in my life at all.
No, yeah, I know. I mean, like, unless you're...
No, no, I'm just kidding.
I was about to say, do you have, like, a fat head of Ronald Reagan in the next
room?
Don't
you dare!
Don't you dare disrespect my man! All
right, go on. So the tapes came out about what?
Just super racist conversation between Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon that we are all not surprised happened. I mean, yeah. Like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah, like, what do you think happened?
Right, and just imagine how much of that shit goes on in the world that bleeds straight into what's taught as history.
So much.
And that's why I can't do it, man. It's just like...
I feel that, though.
When I mean history, I mean, like, not recent history, because that's important and it's relevant right now.
Yeah, I feel like recent history right now, like in the past 10 years, has never been more raw.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And look at what's happening.
Yeah.
This giant storm cloud, dude, is brewing, which is the American people. And eventually, dude, that shit's going to start raining, dog. And I'm going to be like, yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. I'm just going to be like just visceral in front of my TV with my shirt off, dude, eating fucking chip sandwiches just like I do. I'm going to watch the whole world fall apart on itself and I not give a fuck about it happening at all.
Oh, dude.
I mean, I'll go to my mom's house and hang out with them until it's time. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, all right, well, oh, that's a fucking big, big whoa-oh on me. Sorry, yeah, guys. Sure. A party foul for the phone tone. But yeah, okay, so... Tristan, I want to go back to what you were just about to start talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you first started comedy,
yeah.
What were you doing when you first started that are now, looking back, like things that you think maybe were bad advice or a bad foot? Or can you look back and see what you've done wrong? Are you that far ahead yet?
I can see some of the things that...
You wouldn't have or wish you would have done as a new comedian?
Try to... really just almost dig yourself into tropes and stuff like that.
Okay.
Just maybe putting yourself in the mindset that, like, there's a specific thing that you have to do for you to be a stand-up comedian.
All right. And what do those things include for you?
Like people have this idea of, like, you have to do specific things outside of just writing and, like, listening to your set and working on your art.
Okay.
Be a stand-up comedian. You don't have to. Like,
right, you can just be essentially a good writer and be funny.
Yeah, you can.
If that's just how it works out.
Yeah, you can just be a good writer and be funny. And, like, I feel like a lot of people try not to be themselves on stage because they think, like, oh, myself isn't funny. But it's like, the thing is, the reason why you wanted to do stand-up comedy is, I'm guessing, because you make your friends laugh and
right.
stuff like that. And when you're around your friends, you are yourself. Like, when you're up in front of the stage, it's hard to translate, like, almost like a best friend's rapport with everyone in the crowd.
Sure.
And it just, like, it takes a while to almost, like, befriend the stage. You know what I mean? Like, get comfortable with it. Like,
yeah.
Get comfortable with it in its good and bad moments.
Yeah, because I've definitely seen that, you know, someone doing material that they think... the audience will think is funny.
Yeah.
And not being real. And not real as in, like, telling real stories.
But just not being real with themselves.
Yeah, just literally being... And, you know, it's really easier said than done because it took me so many years, dude, and so much, like, redirection to finally realize I was, like, being myself organically all the time is the best thing I could ever do for my environment.
Yeah.
Because the people who didn't really want to... fuck with me now that I'm like being myself, they'll fall off and it won't change at all. But the people who fuck with me are now actually fucking with me rather than, listen to this joke. Like,
yeah,
you know what
it's
I mean?
Support,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. And yeah, no one wants to fucking support a fake person.
No.
Even if you mean well, I don't want to do that. I won't do that shit. Like, I'll slap hands with you and hope the best for you, but I don't want to fucking go out of my way to support someone who's not being real or organic.
Not at all.
And it is hard, dude. I'm not just saying, like, quit being a bitch and do it. It's not that easy, but...
It's fucking
that should
hard.
Be what you're working towards constantly if you're not there.
I'm you not know what I mean? I'm not even there all the way. I'm not anywhere where I want to be in stand-up comedy. I'm okay. always trying to get better.
Sure.
I'm trying to add more of my body on stage. One thing I feel like people are really fucking up with stand-up, and I feel like it's in the way that it's consumed. Like, the way stand-up comedy is usually consumed media-wise is maybe listening to albums or, like, watching a Netflix special and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right.
Or just watching YouTube clips of, like, maybe someone at the Laugh Factory or at a local show. And they don't understand, especially when you're listening to it, the physicality of the comedy.
Sure.
It's not just... And when everyone thinks of stand-up, they think of what? Like the guy...
Jokes.
They think of the guy in the suit standing there, perfectly still on stage, with like the mic... with like a drink in one hand and like the mic standing.
And I think that's slowly changing too. With
yeah.
how popular Netflix comedy has become. Like, no one's really out here fucking doing that anymore unless you've been doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, unless you've...
But that still is the image,
though.
Unless
that is you.
Right, like Steve Byrne type.
Yeah, like Ron White.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
That's him.
Because they come from a time where that was a comedian.
Yeah.
A professional,
and
funny man.
And they all make it their own.
Right.
Like, Doug Stanhope isn't that physical.
Oh,
and Ron White isn't that physical on stage. But that being said, they're completely different comics. Even if they go on stage, stand in the same spot, don't move a muscle, their sets will be yeah. completely different.
And I think that it really plays off of who they are. Not moving a lot. It's like, oh, that's... even more of them being themselves on stage.
Yeah.
But they don't even feel like, I don't even got to fuck. I just got to be funny.
But
come
you
out
have
here.
You have to find out if that's how you are.
Right. And you can't do that in a 4-5 year span, right?
It takes a while.
A long, long time to like, oh, you know what? I can't really say that though, man. Like, people progress in different ways in everything all the time. So I can't, no one can
Very
really
true.
Say.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing, I guess. And,
I feel like a lot of people are fucking up in the stand-up community not being physical on stage. I know I get like I get props for being like really physical.
Right.
And like getting really into my jokes and being like high energy, I bring the crowd up and stuff like that.
Like, that's why everybody wants you to host, dude. You're fucking great.
Have a fun time.
And it's not your and here's a cool thing about you. You're not just a good host, but you're like a better comedian. So that makes you a great host. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, obviously, I know you have like nerves like everybody has nerves, dude. I don't know how you feel personally
dude,
before you get on stage,
dude.
But I feel like I'm going to throw up my asshole before I go on stage.
Dude, every time I go on stage, you know what I'm doing? I'm jumping.
I know, I see you. It's very embarrassing, but it's your thing. And I support you.
Yeah, I don't
it's like,
know.
What is he about to go fucking run through a tunnel with full pads on? What is this guy about to go do?
That's what it's like for me, though. That's my full day.
I know.
My and full day is waiting for that moment.
Yes.
It's like, it's almost like it's the drum roll of, it's like, this is Thursday.
It's an 8-hour drum roll.
8-hour drum roll.
Yeah, dude. That's
and
how
now
I
it's
feel.
Just like, I'm fucking yeah. ready. I'm going to perform my ass off. I've been waiting for this
yeah.
shit.
And I just internalize it. And I just get nervous and don't feel good. And everyone has their own way of dealing
and
with it.
And you feel like you got to take a shit.
And throw up.
And throw up at the same time.
Yeah, and
like
you're
throw
sweaty.
Up between your legs while
hot.
You're pooping.
Yeah, it's just... but then the fucking moment, dude. The moment I grab the mic, it's like... like, okay. And then it's just good. Like, are you ever super, super nervous in the moment anymore?
Kill Tony.
Okay. Because that's a new Coliseum per se.
Yeah.
And the fucking potential of that is insane. So naturally, yeah. Okay. But like, so let's just say you have a fucking book spot at Stand Up Live or a bigger club like
yeah.
that. Okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, you know, the nerves before the show all say the same. That usually doesn't go away. I've heard people say they never go away. It goes away in 20 years. It goes away in 5. I don't fucking care, but I'm still nervous. You're still nervous. So is there... Are you at a point in time in your material where you have your 10 to 15 minutes that you are confident in, and when you start performing, there's no nerves during the performance?
No, it all depends. It depends on the night. It depends on the crowd. It depends on... I don't like just sitting in the green room until the show starts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I usually like to get there before. I like to watch people pack in. I like to get the general... I pick up on vibes really
okay.
well. Like, that's one thing that, like, I don't know. When I talk about it, it's weird, but like me and my family are weirdly spiritual in a way.
Sure.
So like me and my dad were like kind of like empathic to a way where we can like kind of feel people's vibes. You know what I mean? You can feel the vibe of a room.
You're like a witch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like a witch, you know? I make potions.
Witch your fucking cauldron, bitch.
Are you quoting my jokes?
Of course I am, man. Come on. Come on, dog.
I was going to do that next time. Should I do that joke next time on Kill Tony? That was going to be my set.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I think it's a really good one.
Yeah. I really do. A couple times I've heard it go a little long-winded, but it still hits even when you put extra words in there.
Do you know what I also like recently? Have you heard that baseball bat thing I've been doing recent?
No, I have not.
Dude, you want to hear it? So basically, like, the whole premise of it is like when you attack someone, you ask someone in the front row, like, have you ever attacked someone with a baseball bat? And he's like, hear me out. Here's a tip. If you put a sock on the end of the baseball bat, when they get a good grab at it, they're like, hey, I have a sock in my hand.
Yes, dude.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Here comes more baseball bats.
Yeah. Like, yes, I did at Devil's Advocate that one night.
Yeah,
fucking jackhammer was playing in the background, essentially. We had to move it in. You had to move it inside. Yeah, that's a great premise, dude, because that's fucking the perfect way around someone grabbing your baseball bat and getting
it's
it from you.
It's the perfect solution.
It is. And that is hilarious thinking. And that joke will kill.
Oh, dude. It's so fun to do.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you just imagine a tube sock with fuck you written on it.
Right. Right.
Or just, like, imagine just, like, you're or getting just hit with the Louisville Slugger covered in a Dickie sock with the word whoopsie. Like,
or just a Photoshop picture of him with his head bashed in already.
Yeah. No, dude, I've done it where I'm like, I just put a Christmas stocking at the end of it. It's like, who's Jeremy? Like,
who's Jeremy?
Oh, shit. Fuck. That's a real bat.
Or like, how did you know my name's Jeremy?
Imagine someone beating you up. Wait, imagine someone beating you up in tidy whities with your name on it.
Yeah, man, that would be a front page shit right there.
It's oddly disrespectful.
That's very disrespectful in a lot of very intriguing ways.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Real quick, we got to take a little sponsorship break. You're going to learn how to leave a voice message at the podcast through Anchor. If you want to ask me a question, it'll get read out on the episode. So feel free to take a listen, and I'll be back. And we're back.
We're back.
The episode continues.
I'm so excited for what we're about to talk about.
Now, guys, I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you believe in the hype, if you're against the hype. I don't know what your stance is on this, but I could have given a fuck less, honestly.
Personally, if you aren't in on the hype, you're not my friend.
You can't be.
You can't be.
It says too much about you, right?
I know.
So, guys, Arizona.
Arizona.
And the greater area, you know, because traveling will not be an issue for those who are hyped.
Oh, yeah.
There is a White Castle opening up. In Scottsdale, very soon.
Say it, baby!
Meow, 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 meow! We the best! That was a very
white
good harmony.
White Castle?
Yeah. That was a very good harmony.
3 years ago.
Yeah, there's a White Castle, dude. Like, those are just so fucking good, man.
Imagine a White Castle burger, but not from the microwave.
I was just about to say, dude, even from the microwave, they are delectable, dude.
They are fantastic.
And do you know what? The bottom bun always gets wet, but I still love that shit.
Do you know what I do? Do you know what I do?
What?
So I have a way of doing White Castle.
Let's hear it.
So I basically, they're still frozen in the package. I separate the top bun from the cheese.
Ooh.
And then I microwave it. And then I put a piece of parchment paper down on a rack in the toaster. And I toast it on the individual sides. So the top bun gets toasty. I'll put like a pickle. I'll put some mustard on it.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
So it gets toasted.
See, now look, I support that. Now, personally, for me, just strictly me, that's doing too much to the White Castle burger. I am addicted to the simplicity of a White Castle burger. But
yeah,
tip my hat to you, man. If you're one of those guys that just makes it better for you, then do it.
And I feel like a lot of people miss out on that message in life, man.
Yeah.
Like, just, you feel some kind of weird hesitance or, like, shame to do some things you like culinarily.
That's too much to put on a white fuck you.
Fucking suck my dick. Don't ever judge me for what I put on my goddamn shit, dude.
Every time I eat Top Ramen, I put Tony Satchery's cilantro and lime in there.
Because Tony Satchery's is the fucking hidden gem of the world, dude. It's the Louisiana bombshell.
Dog, of course.
You know who showed me that?
Who?
A guy from Louisiana.
Yeah?
Yeah, if he says it's good, then it's fucking good. And I've got like two different kinds, too. They make like a whole bunch of different.
Yeah, they make the regular, and then they make like the spicy one.
The Cajun
one.
Spicy. Yeah, that's what I fucks with.
Do you have
with.
That in the house?
I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive I do.
I'm gonna try some because I haven't had it.
You want to do a line?
I would love to do a bone.
No, but yeah, and you know what? I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite because sometimes I do care what people like because it's so fucked. But I'm really trying not to be that guy. You know, like unless it's Swisher Sweets. If you're rolling up Swishers, you know how I feel about that.
I can't.
We don't even.
Why
have,
would you?
We literally. I express this opinion so often on this podcast. We don't have to talk about this. Oh, anyone who's listening should know what the fucking deal is. I don't roll up Swishers. I don't roll up Zigzags. I don't roll up White Owls. It's Natural Leaf Gang Gang only. Dutch Masters, Garcia Vega Game, Backwoods, whatever, dude. Just not the fucking construction paper that is Swisher Sweets. I digress.
Do you know what? Do you know what? I'm not going to lie to you right now. And I hope this doesn't change your opinion of
it. It's going to, but I just hope you learn from your mistakes up to this point.
The reason why I kind of fuck with like some of the... I fuck with the mango Zigzag papers.
Okay, but guess
what? The tobacco ones, and I know it's not good for me.
Wait,
but
the natural leaf or the fucking regular Zigzag with no tobacco in them?
The regular with no tobacco in them.
It's fair. I guess, man. It's fine, dude. No, it's fun to try new stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is, I used to smoke out of those when I first started rolling blunts. Yeah, so it totally brings me back.
Dude, I have said this on this podcast, again, numerous times. I understand the nostalgia that's attached to certain things.
Yeah.
However, okay? However.
Wait. When I pulled out blunt wraps today, what were they?
They're Garcia Vega Game. Because you're evolving, man.
Because I know my shit.
Yeah. And you knew where you were coming, too.
No, I just know how to live day to day.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, you know, I'm going to use a bit of an extreme analogy here. But it's like, okay, let's just say you grew up violently racist. Okay?
I did, yeah.
Right. And you didn't know any better.
Relatable.
It's what you knew, okay?
You don't.
It's what you knew.
Thank you.
But look, you get out into the world, you experience real people, and you understand that outlook and opinion is just wrong,
you lost
right?
Me.
Okay?
You lost me.
No. Listen, you're racist growing up. That's what you're used to.
Yes.
And then you go out into the real world and understand that it's not that way. Do you think it's okay to be racist for nostalgic purposes? No, because you know better already. So just do better. So stop smoking Swishers and do better. You know what I mean? It's not a fucking excuse anymore. You know, it just brings me back, man. It's like, no. Discover a new fucking band and smoke a new goddamn rap that's better for you.
First off,
I just care about your quality of life, and nostalgia can be dangerous.
First off, you will never stop me from listening to Fred Durst.
Oh, that's fine, but you listen to a lot of new shit too as well.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
It's hot dog flavored water.
You just did a remix of Old Town Road, the newest Billboard hit, so you already contradict yourself. And shout out, because you really killed it, whatever, it's fine. No, it doesn't matter. I'll leave, drop the fucking SoundCloud link in the fucking description or whatever. I don't even give a fuck. Goddamn, go ahead and plug it.
You're real salty about it, aren't you?
Plug it, I said.
Oh,
I did you not hear me, what I just said? I spoke very clearly.
Yeah, sure, Busta. No, but I put out a remix of Old Town Road. You can listen to it on SoundCloud. Just look up Baby Boy and look up Buckeye Road.
There you go, dude.
Yeah.
So
I'll be putting out more stuff soon, and hopefully it'll be on Spotify and iTunes.
Bitch.
Yummy pussy's wet.
Fuck.
Fine.
I think Spotify has like made it to where artists can upload essentially anything, but you can just not get
money
royalties for it.
How
however,
do you do that?
Dude, honestly, I'm not the person to guide you, but I will guide you to people who absolutely know what they're talking about. And it's a very short conversation just to someone who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, I trust your opinion more than anything.
Cool. Yeah, I would not fucking, I never try to seem knowledgeable when I'm not about a situation. You know what I mean?
But most of the time, you know what you're talking about.
Well, not, you know, not...
Don't
I have a lot of opinions, and that's and there's no right or wrong in opinions unless, you know.
But the thing is, you got the right opinions. And we
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate
that. You know that deep in your heart, but you're not going
to
say it.
I really, truly feel like I live my life in a way that is strictly beneficial to people other than racist people, you know, because that's very detrimental to be around me and vocally racist, because that's happened. And me and my buddy Ethan Panetta and my buddy Sean Hoops and a whole bunch of gang, I won't drop names from back in the day. I feel like I put my societal work in making sure racist people weren't around, because we beat up a lot of Nazis in my day, a lot of neo-Nazis, a lot of people that thought it was just okay to just come around with red shoelaces and fucking SS patches, and we just destroyed their entire life, dude.
What if someone was just super into MCR?
No. See, that's the thing, man. No. You can't look the way a racist looks and wear red shoelaces at that time in a period in Arizona.
You look like
you're asking for
it. Dude just rolls up in his Hyundai Sierra listening to Helena on repeat.
And no, not red shoelaces on.
She will die at the end of the world.
Guys, I introduced Gerard Way in the studio today. Lead singer of My Chemical Romance. No. And it's not red shoelaces of any kind. It's steel-toe boots with red shoelaces. That's the fucking...
Yeah?
That's
you know way more than me about it.
Because it was around me and it wasn't allowed around me.
But
that's what I'm saying.
You didn't grow up that far from me.
But I spent time with people far from you.
I know,
like,
you did.
You know, and it's like, I don't know. I was just really into like hardcore music and stuff. And then I found out what straight edge was. And then I claimed straight edge and became a part of that whole scene. And it was just such an aggressively violent scene for all the right reasons. And
it's like, I wouldn't imagine straight edges as being violent. When I imagine straight edge, I imagine that's usually associated with like the smart people in my school.
Yeah, no way, man. I mean, well, the term straight edge typically means just straight edge. Like, you don't do anything wrong. Hippity-hippity, ha-ha-ha. You know what I mean? But the term straight edge, when it's applied to, like, that music scene, is very different. And there's a lot of pride attached to it. There's a lot of rules, social rules that just will not be tolerated. And I thought that I was going to be straight edge forever, dude. Like, for real, forever. I was like, I got tattoos and shit. I was like, this is... the best.
Do you still have them?
Yeah, I'm not gonna get rid of them, dude.
What do they look like?
What's I have one. It just says straight edge on my arm right here, and then there's a giant X on the back of my leg.
What's a giant X?
Which just represents straight edge. Like,
that's, I mean, like, that's cool. It's still part of your life.
It was a very important part of my life, and there's a lot of stories. Most stories I have to talk about comes from that part of my life, and made a lot of good friends, lifelong friends, and was just so much of a different person, dude. Like, I tell everybody that I know now, it's like, I'm so glad I didn't meet you guys 5 years ago.
Yeah,
because
I
was such a different person in a lot of bad ways, and I just decided to fucking change myself, and I just essentially took enough psychedelics to where, like, I became the person I wanted to be. And, like, I'm still putting in work every day trying to become a better person, but at least I don't
That's
hate myself anymore.
That's
you know what
you
I mean?
Gotta do. Yeah.
Yeah, so shout out to Straight Edge. It was there when I needed it. I don't think that it's good for anybody for life. I think that it's there when you need it. And it's really cool to be able to know that you can go through life at such a pivotal point without leaning on stuff. But
that's kind of where I am, just because, like, I'm not going to lie, like, I have, like, my addictions, and then I have, like I'm addicted to nicotine.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
It's obvious.
It's easy. That's an easy one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm addicted to nicotine. Like, I'm not addicted to drinking or anything like that.
No, but you're new to it, and it's exciting, dude.
Yeah.
Not new to drinking in itself, I'm sure, but new to just
being able to drink socially.
Exactly.
And have it be acceptable.
And it is a little fun.
It is fun.
In the right circumstance, you know?
Yeah, but it also, I don't want it to fuck up my comedy.
Well, that's what I'm saying, dude. I think the best advice that I've ever gotten was from Jimmy Earle. This guy, Jimmy Earle, is a comedian from Sacramento.
Yeah.
And he came down here, and I was lucky enough to do a show with him, and we were at Third Space, RIP. He did a show there, and we were talking
so
outside.
Crazy that closed down.
I know,
so
man.
Crazy.
I know, man.
Wait, like, did comedy close down or the whole bar?
The whole Third Space closed down.
Wait, like the
owner sold it, and then the dude
and the restaurants in the back too.
Melt too, yeah. Melt and Third Space gone.
What about that donut shop? Is that still
the
there?
Ice cream and donuts. Yeah, it's gone.
What?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yep. So,
dude, they did so good. They could pay the whole rent of that
place.
It's
not about, it wasn't about them not being able to afford it. I just think there was an offer that they were just willing to accept, and now they're going to change it to something. I hope it's something beneficial for the community, because that grand area, you know, with the Grand Ave Pizza and Third Space, that's a very important area to keep, like,
so
social. You know what I mean? So I had a conversation.
I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, me too, man. I love that place. I was going to that place before I even knew there was comedy there or anything. It was just a place that some of my friends performed at musically. I'd go check them out, have some tater tots and shit. You know what I mean? Whatever.
Dude, my like go-to taking like people out and stuff like that was that ice cream stuff donut place. I had been going there for 3 years.
It's mind-blowing, dude.
Dude, I'm like,
if you guys don't know what we're talking about, there's a shop behind. Oh. Was a shop.
There was
behind this place that was Third Space. And if you don't know what Third Space is, it's just a fucking like a bar, an event space with a nice patio. Felt very communal. You know, all of the
very homey.
Yeah, all of the businesses shared a patio. It was just a really great place to hang around. And
there's
this place,
a smoke shop, a bike, a bicycle shop,
yep.
a tattoo place, a hair salon,
a bar, which is Third Space, and then
Third Space, which also had food,
ice cream, and donuts. But they're donut ice cream sandwiches, guys.
Ice cream stuffed donuts with cereal in the goddamn middle.
So hopefully all of those businesses continue to flourish
and
find new spaces.
I'm about to look them up on Instagram and see what their IG is, because
yeah, that's definitely worth a shout out.
Yeah, because I love these guys for so long.
So Jimmy Earl was in town, and I was talking to him outside of Third Space. And he asked me if I had ever done a set sober before. And I was like, well, I don't really drink, but, you know, I usually smoke before every set because my nerves get really bad, you know? He's like, oh, okay. He's like, you never, like, just not smoke before a set? And I was like, no, like, not yet. He's like, oh, well, you know, I challenge you to do a couple of sets, your next sets that you do in front of crowds, like, do them sober.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. I was like, okay, man, you know?
That challenge thing is weird.
Yo.
I feel weird about that.
Tristan.
Is someone saying that?
I'm telling you right now, bro.
Yeah?
Everything about my comedy on stage is better when I'm sober, dude.
Really?
I can't even deny it, dog. All of my animations, my hand gestures, and me moving around the crowd, eye contact, fluidity through my jokes, and energy all stay 100%. But when I'm smoking, I'm handling my nerves, but it's calming me down to a point where I might seem less enthusiastic, and I don't want to come off that way.
Yeah.
And so when I go do shows now at like with maybe like a larger audience, I make it a point to smoke a blunt during the day or maybe a couple hours before showtime, but to not be high on stage. And it's worked to my advantage, dude. And I not saying anything about you, but I guarantee you have not went on stage not high, because we smoke together all the fucking time.
Yeah, I know.
It's so maybe just give it a shot.
I'm going to.
Yeah, it was great.
As soon as you said that, I immediately started thinking of it.
Yeah, it's great.
I trust
knowing
your opinion.
It's just, thank you, man. And it's just great knowing you can do good and with nothing, right? And I will not deny that taking a shot or smoking a blunt before performance makes everything way easier to handle emotionally. But for me, it makes a very obvious difference in my enthusiasm on stage, or at least how I'm coming off. And so it was pretty cool, man. Shout out to Jimmy Earl for doing that for me, man. I probably would have never done that. I would never see a reason to do that unless someone told me.
Oh, dude. I opened for Adam Conover at CB Live a couple weeks ago.
Congrats, bro. That's big dick energy shit right there.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say this, but
don't say the name, or are you going to say what happened?
No, I'm going to say just like something that's coming up.
Is it official?
I think so.
I don't know, man. That's your line to walk. I don't want you to
so,
because you know there's probably going to be some local comedians and people included to listen to this. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. I'm not cutting shit out, though.
Shit, I know. I wouldn't make you do work.
You know me. Minimal effort, maximum output. That's what I'm getting tattooed on my fucking head, dude.
Oh, yeah. Right on the crown, bro.
Yeah.
No, but I'm going to be doing some road work soon.
Good. Very good.
Yeah. And
that's a perfect way to say what you wanted to say right there.
Yeah.
Yes. That's very good. And you deserve it, man.
And it's not like with Adam or anything like that.
Don't matter.
It's just I got an offer to do a college show.
Yes. And you're going to get paid for it, which, you know, they already told you how much that is. If they talk to you about it, which is going to be a nice little,
it's going to be
a nice little day.
It's going to pay for, basically I wanted to talk about this. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be in the scene.
Really. In the Phoenix scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
You've spent a lot of time here growing.
Yeah. I've spent 4 years here and, I have, decided that I want to kind of expand myself a little bit more. Not even to LA.
Sure.
I don't necessarily like. Do you want to know? I have this weird thing in my head, and tell me if this strikes a chord with you.
Okay.
I feel like here's like I can predict what's going to happen in LA. I go there, I'm going to get booked on shows in a year and a half or like 2 years, maybe three.
Okay.
I'll pop or whatever.
Yeah. It's great.
But the thing is, I'll pop for a moment. It'll be my moment, and maybe I'll have the traction to keep it up, but I want to, when I'm ready to have my first special,
mm-hmm.
I want to have my second one in my back pocket.
Okay. That's a good goal to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really, there's a lot more stuff I want to do. I realize how young I am and stuff like that. Like, some people don't start doing stand-up until they're, like, 26,
dude,
27.
I honestly agree with everything you said up to this point, and I support wherever this is going other than you taking age into any kind of consideration for anything at all.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that, man.
No, like, the thing is, no, like, what I'm saying is, like, most people start stand-up sometimes when they're, like, what, like, 26, 25, 27?
27, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, when I'm 27, I'm going to be 10 years in.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I'm 27 and just figured out that I would like to really dive into this. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to be 10
years.
Well,
I'm 28 now, yeah. But when I was, yeah.
Yeah, anyways. I feel you, though.
You know what I mean, man.
I know what you mean,
so,
buddy.
Yeah, please, go on. Go on.
No, I feel like I have a lot more grinding to do. I feel like,
yeah, man. Of course.
Yeah, but I feel like with LA, it's just like maybe I'll get on some TV things and stuff like that. Maybe I'll obviously going to try to audition for stuff because it's
sure.
there.
Sure.
You know?
And you're you.
Yeah, it's like yeah. It's basically an actor's open mic.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, honestly.
Yeah, you just go
and
there.
I don't know what it takes to get an audition, but there's open auditions all over the fucking place.
Basically, every person you're going up books a show. Every open mic, there's someone there who books a show. And you got to do your set really well, and you might be on their show. But for their show isn't a comedy show, it's a TV show.
Sure.
Or a movie, or whatever the fuck, you know? And it might do well, it might not do well, it might be commercial.
Yeah.
It might be just some Snapchat ad campaign. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's
something.
It's something.
Yes. And something is better than something less or nothing. You know what I mean? So now where's your first, in your mind, where is the first place you'd like to go? Like where, if you could go anywhere other than LA, obviously not sounding like choice number one for.
Yeah. Last year I thought about that because I don't feel like it ever was LA. Not immediately, you know? I want to have my shit together.
Because right now, you can just go there and do some comedy in front of the right people. You have opportunity that literally only a few people in the world have, where you can go perform not only in front of some very important people in the scene when you'd like to, but that's a fuck. How many fucking people watch that Kill Tony podcast, and just like your Instagram following has not blown up, but significantly increased since your debut, and yada yada. People fuck with you. It's just like, you've got all the momentum to go wherever you want and still be able to just dip in and out of LA and still like keep like be relevant down there.
Yeah. So it started last year because I've been going to LA to do stand up since I was 17.
Right. Flappers started, right?
No.
That wasn't the first one in LA you've done?
Not at all, no.
Oh, okay. Okay. So yeah, take us through the fucking...
So the first place I ever did in LA was this place called the Springbok. It was it's like almost like a Kenyan themed bar, South African themed bar in Van Nuys, and Billy Batts books it, and it's a fantastic Wednesday show. And I knew this girl who hooked me up with him, and I messaged him, and he said, "Yeah, just come out and stuff like that." So I told my dad, and we went out. And,
bada bing, fucking bada boom. All right, Tristan.
I did good. And I met people who I still call my friends. I got to be on a radio show when I was 18 years old.
That's tight, dude.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was called Comics Life Radio. Like, I got to, like, hang out with this guy, like, named Alan Steven, who used to be a producer on Roseanne and stuff like that.
Fucking tight.
And, like, it was crazy hearing the stories because he used to run, like, tight with Sam Kinison and stuff like that. Okay. So like he's been at the Comedy Store forever. He's been in comedy forever, and like it's just I remember one of the dinners we were having. We're sitting there in an Italian restaurant, just sitting there chatting, and it was just me and Alan getting really close to each other, and like it was just an amazing time. Like my dad was there, my mom was there, like I was there.
Right,
like, it was a whole family thing.
Now was that your dad last night for real at the Casey's?
At Casey's? Yeah. No.
Okay.
This is my dad.
Okay, I don't know what your dad looks like.
You've never seen my dad?
Nope. Or met him or anything.
You've never seen my dad?
Yeah, sorry to like roll into that, but I was like, yeah, you mentioned your dad just now, and I was like, yeah, was that your dad at Casey's? Because he looks like a cool guy. I don't know what your fucking dad looks like, man.
No, he's probably going to come to the show this Sunday. So.
Cool. Yeah, so let's talk about that too, man.
Yeah, you want to? Yeah?
Yeah, let's talk about that. First, just wrap that piece up. Again, congrats on your recent success.
Dude.
I think anyone can say it's well-deserved. You work your ass off for it. You live almost the furthest away from anyone who consistently does open mics, and yet you're there all the time working. Everyone recognizes it and appreciates it. So you definitely...
I wish I was as dedicated as my parents are to me doing stand-up.
Well, you will be. It's just like it takes a lot for the artist to believe in themselves. It really does. Like, you are going to always have a bar that's way higher than you're able to reach. Like, you're going to hit milestones and you're going to feel great about your career and everything that's happened so far. But, like you said, even before the podcast, you're like, dude, I'll never be satisfied. Like, I'll never be, like, feeling like I'm good enough. But
yeah,
everyone else thinks otherwise. And I don't know what time or what place it's going to take for you to balance out with like, okay, shit, I do deserve this finally, and like believe in yourself, but it'll come, dude.
I hope so, man. I'm doing
a twill.
I'm doing my best, but what I was going to wrap up is when you're asking me where I want to end up.
Yeah.
I went and visited the East Coast last year. I went to New York specifically. I didn't have a great time. It wasn't what I thought it was.
Okay.
And
why?
The open mic scene is really split up and stuff like that. I thought it was going to be like Arizona, where even though we're kind of far from each other, like we're all kind of connected. You know what I mean? Everyone hangs out with everyone, but it seemed like there was like North Side comics, Brooklyn comics, like people who just stayed in the boroughs.
Yeah.
So it felt like really, it seemed like really kind of spread out and no one was connected with anyone and stuff like that.
All right.
It was just kind of hard because there's so much going on that it's almost overwhelming and you don't know what's good. Because everyone has an open mic, but it doesn't matter if it's like, it can be an empty room, which is the host in it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just on a website and you don't know that till you get there.
Right.
And then the other open mic is on the other side of town. And when you get there, you're going to be 25th on the list. And then you waste a whole day. And it's
yeah, I see what you mean, man.
Yeah, it can get ridiculous. So I recently I've been talking to some people, and I'm gonna take a trip in October to go to Chicago.
Chicago, what?
Chicago. I used to live there when I was a little kid. I used to live in Barrington. And, I mean, like, I was, like, in preschool, so I don't really remember it. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be able to, like, give you a tour.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember it being a nice place, and I already know some people who are down there, and I'm going to go visit. And then it's just the deciding factor if I have the money and if it works itself out to where I can, like, consistently hit open mics while making money to support myself and also not have it bite into my stand-up, you know what
I mean? Right. Yeah, I mean, people find the balance, but people will also say that it's really shitty getting there, like finding the balance. But
it's going to be shitty.
But if you plan well enough, then you can make the transition pretty easy, man. Like, no one's going to ever fucking just see you and be like, you're funny, but, you know, you got to... I don't really see anyone being like, well, you're brand new to Chicago, so fucking you're restarting. It's just like you're going to be able to go to clubs and give them your credits and stuff, yada, yada, and be like, hey, I've been hitting open mics in Chicago all on my own, whatever, whatever. I just don't think that you're going to be starting from ground level if that's what you're thinking.
I mean, I just, like, I'm going to have to prove myself all over again.
Sure, but it won't be the same, though, because you already are where you are right now.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know that. It's just, like...
All that is just time at that point.
Yeah, it's just time getting used to... I feel like there's kind of, like, almost like a concussion process of where it just, like, takes a minute to kind of get your head straight on stage in a new environment.
Right, right. And your upper hand is you're just really good already.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, I've heard, you know, Chicago is a great place for comedy. New York, you know, obviously different people have different opinions. I get that, how that could be a turnoff. Like,
yeah, Charles Zinkel is in New York.
Yeah, doing it out there, man.
Doing it, dude.
And I heard San Diego is a great place right now to be doing comedy. It hasn't been in a while. And I've only been talking to people who want to talk about it. So I'm not, like, doing research or anything. But these are just, like, what I hear.
Yeah.
Like, those three cities are the ones that you should for sure go to before you want to maybe full-time LA or something like that, you know? Like,
yeah.
Really know what you're doing before you just set sail.
Like, my idea was maybe, like, Denver... Or spending like a year in Florida.
Does Denver have a nice comedy scene?
It's supposed to. Like, yeah. I know David Rodriguez out there. Okay. Like, he's a fantastic comedian. I know Brent Tobler, who's a fucking great comedian.
That's a cool name. Brent Tobler.
Have you ever seen... He was on a... Do you know Ari Shaffir's show, This Is Not Happening?
Yeah.
He was on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did a set about how he tried to kill his dad.
I thought I've seen all of them. Maybe I have seen it, and I just haven't heard it in a long time.
Yeah, he's
I'll
a lumberjacky guy with a beard. He used to run money in Vegas.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to listen to that one again.
Yeah, so. But he comes through This Week Sucks Tonight often.
That's awesome.
And just, like, the fact that he's such a friendly guy, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he remembers my name, which is, like, so crazy. Because, like, I mean, it's just, like, when people are touring and stuff like that, they go to so many towns. And just to remember my name in a specific town in a specific place, it's just, like... You don't have to do that.
Well,
you
know? I mean, maybe it just shows how unforgettable you are, bruh. I mean, you do make sure visually no one forgets you.
I mean...
You make that a point.
I'm not wearing anything. I'm not wearing anything like... I'm just wearing Doc Martens black shirt. I'm just wearing black on black on black.
But you're here for an audio podcast.
Yeah.
Did you feel me?
Yeah.
Did you feel me? It's out. But, okay... Dude, thank you so much for getting into all that, man. Like,
yeah,
honestly, I'm sure there are plenty of people out here, including me, who just love to hear this from, like, you know, year four or five comedians. It's just, like, kind of what they could look forward to if they put in the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also, I listened to you and Derek's podcast last week. That was fucking awesome.
I love that episode, man.
Yeah, that's such a good episode, dude.
Yeah.
Hearing you take a shot is so funny.
Dude,
it's like him just taking you, just going...
Like, so gross, dude.
Dude.
I cannot do that well.
That Canadian whiskey, bud.
You know, and no chaser, dude. Like, who the fuck have I become?
Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
dude.
He pressured.
Do you remember us at the Yardley's house?
Yes. Yes, I do. That was a fun time.
Dude, we need to go there again.
Yes.
How about this? Let's right now say. That sometime in maybe like
September, October, November, yeah. within that 3 month span, we do that shit.
Yes.
All over again.
Yeah, but this time
we record it.
Well, yeah, of course, but this time,
yeah.
There's no way that we can't get booked on more shows during the time we're out there.
Oh, no way, dude.
If we try, if we really just send emails and be diligent about it, we can get 3 nights, 3 shows, and they'd be good, and including Kill Tony.
Oh, dude.
You know what I mean?
I'm going over there. I don't know if you know, but I'm leaving Tuesday the 6th.
Okay.
To go to L.A. for a week.
Tight butthole.
I'm not going to be here for a week. I'm going to be only in L.A. I'm going to do Kill Tony. I'm going to be staying with my uncle.
Yes.
I'm going to be laying off the land and stuff like that. It's going to be a really fun time.
You know who you should hit up?
Who should I hit up?
Fucking Stevie Lee, dude.
Stevie Lee?
Yes. Yeah. Bobby Lee's brother has a podcast of his own called the Stevie Weeby Show. And he has a whole bunch of like skateboarders and hip hop artists and a whole bunch of just porn stars and comedians, all kinds of different fucking people, dude. And he's like a really good podcast out there to try and get on if you're going to be out there for maybe a week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That would be that would be major. And it would be such a good episode. I think you guys, that would be the most fun episode I would ever watch. So just a piece of, I don't have to talk about this on the podcast.
But, heart skipping a beat. That sounds so fun. I'm definitely going to hit him up.
Yeah. Bad listening material, but if you just hit him.
It's not bad listening material. It's whatever. The development of an idea. You know what I mean? Cool. You're planting a seed.
Yeah. And dude, I will write up a fucking template for you. So you can send out to whoever the fuck you need to when you need to.
Dude, I'm
that is,
fuck
and,
it.
And I'm going to start charging for that shit, too.
Am I going to get under your table to suck your dick right now,
No. It's just, dude, honestly, I just realized that how, like, you know, I've been kind of preaching, like, the power of asking type shit, right?
But it's more than that. You are the king of that.
It's more than that. It's how you ask, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I will never say no to anybody that wants to get on any show that I'm in control of. But I'd rather have you say, hey, something, something, something. I'd like a spot on your show if you've got room or whatever. Oh, okay. Like, cool. Rather than, hey, how do I get on your show? Or, hey, I want, not even how, because that's even courteous.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's like,
hey, I want a spot on your show. Nothing else.
I'm in town. Can I get on your show?
That's it. That's it, though, you know? And it's just like, oh, man, why can't you just be a little more formal, dog?
Ask like a person.
Ask how you'd ask in person, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't just say, hey, can I get a spot on your show tonight?
No,
that
dummy.
Would never fucking happen.
No.
Like, so what I've been really focusing on is making sure I create these emails to send whoever the fuck I need to for people who I want to get on the podcast or maybe someone that's a potentially booking.
Dude.
Like I sent emails to like 70 different music festivals, dude.
Dude, do you know what if you have like, if you're prideful, if you have pride for the like power of asking and stuff like that.
I don't have pride. It's just exciting because it's new to me too.
But
you know what I mean?
The thing is, it's like you take pride in yourself being able to ask people, you know what I mean? To be able to like, I did that shit.
Yeah.
It's not like I didn't try my best. I did that shit and I tried my best. And you know what? I can't say I didn't.
Yes.
You know? And do you know what? That's how, I feel the same way about manners, dude. I feel the same way. Just people should have just like an underlying respect.
I know.
Just to have manners. You know what I mean? It feels good to be nice to people.
Yeah.
Like, why is it like, if you don't know someone, like, dude, before I got here, I was buying blunt wraps at a gas station. Someone didn't have a bottle opener to open their drink.
Yeah.
And I just pulled out my car keys because I got one.
Yeah.
And it's a simple act of kindness.
You solved his problem.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to.
Didn't, no.
But guess who was fucking stoked? That guy, and you get to help somebody. It's a win-win-win.
Dude, no matter what, you're feeling good. Just be a good person, and you feel good about it.
It's very easy.
Every time a homeless person asks me for money, I try to give it to them, or either that or give them weed.
Yeah,
it's just
so there. More than a few times, I've definitely given the rest of my blunt or joint to a homeless dude. I'm just like, not even just assuming they smoke, but I'm like, hey, man, do you smoke weed? Like, would that be,
you know, disrespectful.
Something you're into, yeah.
And they're always like, yeah, man, like, do you have some? Like, yeah, here's the rest of the blunt. And I was like, it's really good shit. So you can even space it out if you want. And they're always happy.
Always.
Because I really don't have money to give. I have change, and anytime they ask for change, I have it, I give it. But, like, you know, I'm not giving dollars out anymore, dog. I can't do it. Sorry. You know,
dude,
happy to help in small ways, but I'm not fucking paying for anybody anymore.
So do you want to hear something real? I was on the way back from a show. I was going from a dispensary show to do you know the show at Nathan Evangelista's house,
the Drinking Joke?
Yeah,
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so I was going from a dispensary show to Drinking Joke, and I got paid in weed, basically.
Nice.
So I had like 3/4 of a joint in my car. Okay. And like 3 more joints in my pocket and like 2 blunts that I rolled back at home. So I was like, right, set for the night. And so I pulled up to a gas station, and this guy was there on a bike, and he wrote down, I was getting gas, and he's like, hey, do you have money? I'm like, no, would you want to you smoke? And he's like, yeah. And I was just like, you want this joint? And I pull out like a gram joint,
yeah,
basically. And he's just like, fuck yeah, dude. I give it to him, and and I remember this specifically because it was at the beginning of when I was just like just starting to do some writing.
Right.
And stuff like that, just starting to get myself into the music mindset. And it was a moment where he looked at me, he's like, do you rap? And I was just like, no, I do stand-up comedy.
Okay.
And I, like, gave the joint to him, and I'm like, look me up on Instagram, and I plugged myself, and I was just like, God bless, man, because I just wanted God to have that one.
Right.
You know?
Just give it up for God.
Give it up for God. Give weed. Give weed for God.
Right.
You know? Like, dude, like, I feel like it would just be like, yeah, you're being a nice guy. Like,
there's no harm in saying that, right, I guess?
No.
Someone's like, I'm an atheist. And it's like, fuck you, shut up.
Fuck you, dude.
God, you fucking pussy. Anyways, go on.
You know what I mean, the best. But, yep, like, as I pulled away, I was just kind of thinking, I'm like, what if I could be a rapper? You know what I mean? And I started thinking more about rapping, and I started writing more, and, like, now I have my first track out.
So your rap career is essentially inspired by a homeless man.
Yeah.
That's fucking tight, dude. That's a good canon.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, I always thought that, like, I could at least rhyme and stuff like that. I've always been into poetry.
Yeah, yeah, writing always usually came easy to me, too, but not writing jokes, man.
Really?
Nope, I cannot physically write a joke out.
That's so weird because you're so good on stage.
Shut up, bitch. Dude, this is not the time to compliment me. This is your episode, all right?
Dude, no, I'm going to compliment you always. You have a fantastic podcast. You have fantastic stage presence. You have fantastic jokes. You're easily going to fucking... Dude, I can't... Like, honestly, you in 5 years... Crazy. It's going to be crazy, dog.
Thanks, man.
Just take it.
I love you, dude.
Just take it.
Thanks, dude.
Just take it, dude.
All right, I will.
Like, honestly...
I just can't, yeah.
Honestly, the fact that you wanted to do this Roman Oasis thing on Sunday with me, and you, like, hit me up about it, and you're, like, consistent with it, and not just like, oh, dude, I got this show, and, like, kind of just forgot about me co-hosting, because I would have just taken that shit and just come to it. And
yeah,
just,
but like, no, that wasn't the discussion, man.
I know, but
I'm not that guy.
But the thing is, you aren't that guy. So it's just like, I respect you so much as a person.
Appreciate you, man.
You're amazing.
I appreciate you. I can at least say I'm a pretty decent person to the people that I fuck with.
You're a fantastic man.
Yeah, I might seem jaded to people I don't
my
care about.
My grandma likes you. My,
dude, your grandma's a fucking G, dude.
My
she's
dog
no bullshit.
Likes you, dude.
Oh, man, Bear's the shit. Bear's just, okay, guys, you don't know Bear, but Bear's like a... not a miniature poodle, but he's just a tiny little, like, poodle terrier mix, it looks like.
No, he's 100% miniature poodle.
Is he mini poodle?
Yeah, the size you saw him at is the biggest he's going to get.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Well, then, yeah. He's a cute little motherfucker, dude.
Dude, he's
very
so
adorable.
Cute.
So
it
now.
I want to go home and pet him.
I know, dude. I can't wait to go to my fucking mom's house tonight, dude. And
are you going to your mom's house
cuddle
tonight?
Cuddle with my dog, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
I have one more joint in the car, and I'm not going to smoke it.
Oh,
I
need
to wait to be at your house tonight.
Okay, man. No. I'm not going straight over. This will be after everything I'm doing tonight.
I know. I'm saying after everything I'm doing. I'm doing this week sucks.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Like,
so you won't be home till late.
Yeah, I won't be home till late. So I'm saying I'm going
to
save my joint.
I'll probably come to this week sucks, and we can just roll back together, and we'll smoke it when we get back.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Skirt. So now, guys,
what he had mentioned at about Roman's Oasis. Now, yes, this is a brand new open mic.
It is.
Starting on August 4th. However, this podcast will be released after the first one. And I'm telling you right now, this hasn't happened yet.
But it's going to be a fucking banger.
Let me tell you something. It was lit. All right? It was very lit. The first Roman's open mic was very successful. First and I had off. A great time. And it hasn't even happened yet.
It hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah.
Not only is my parents going to be there.
Yeah.
But
my parents are going to be there.
Yeah.
And we might just fucking blow up the place with pure energy, dude, and just like shine through the heavens. And God's going to be like, damn, what are these fools doing?
Imagine then, Catalinas. But the thing is, you don't even understand. Like, I feel like people didn't read your post when you said drink specials for comedians.
Right. And I'm talking about drink specials, dude. Like 250
bottles. 250
bottles. And then 350 well drinks.
What is that? Like a chicken sandwich?
Yeah.
At McDonald's?
No, like not hot spicy is a dollar.
Yeah, it's like
they keep it real as fuck with the hot and spicy.
It's like two hot and spicies.
But a Burger King original chicken sandwich? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So don't be a fat piece of shit and come get drunk and watch some comedy.
Dude.
No, but the next one right now then would be August 18th. So
August 8th, do you know what? You want to know something?
Yes.
I was planning on staying 2 weeks in LA until we booked the Roman's Oasis show. Damn. And then I cut it to 1 week just because I wanted to be here for it.
Whoa. You guys hear that, man? That's how popping this shit's going to be. And dude, we will make sure as a community that Tristan makes frequent trips to wherever he needs to go to stay on his fucking A game. And that's a goddamn guarantee, brother. But yeah, so Roman's Oasis was kind enough to let us do an open mic there. Now it's going to be a little different. The format's going to be a little different. You know, I'll probably just start out the show, whatever, but this is going to be a co-hosted open mic.
Oh yeah.
And so what that essentially means is me and Tristan will always be the hosts unless, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. If one of them was out of town, you already know that's all right, because that means someone's making moves. So we'd essentially alternate bringing people up, but then I think the format would be like every third, fourth, whatever feels right person, we're going to go up together and do a quick banter and then bring up the next comedian in a very epic manner. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you, if you've been in the comedy scene for a while, and this is for the people who have like been there for a minute.
Sure.
You might recognize this format from a long known publishing company where, me and Lou Moon used to, co-host shows together there. We used to co-host the open mic and would both go up with, honestly, it's how I got good at roasting, because we would be on the spot and he's like, you want to roast each other? I'm like, sure. And he'd hit me with something and I'd hit him with something and he'd hit me with something and I'd hit him with something and we'd get the crowd up and then we'd bring the next person on the stage. Sure. Long known publishing company was honestly, it was on Monday, and it was my favorite place to go on Mondays every week. No matter what, it was fantastic. And I'm sad that it's gone, but you know what? It was going to happen because the guy who ran it was kind of an asshole.
Yeah, the A-man things come and go. You know, we know how these things are, you know? But now we're going to, you know, kind of not, we're not going to copy the format, but it will definitely be integrated.
Also, one thing I'm going to bring up is I'm going to be staying for the whole show. You're going to be staying for the whole show.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I live max 4 minutes away.
Yes.
So we all going to hang out there in big chill.
Smoke big herbo.
Big pet dog.
Yes.
All things fun.
And it's about to start getting really nice outside here in the next couple months. It's not here yet. We already know where we are in life right now.
Yeah, it sucks a big old dick.
Yep. At least it's raining a little bit recently. A slight...
Brings me back. It reminds me of Florida.
Yeah, but then you go outside and then it's like, oh,
this cool. is a new type of
110 thing. Degrees on the pavement with water all around us. And it's just a humid fuck fest out here right now.
Oh, humidity's a motherfucker, dude.
So yeah, guys, if you want to come out and do the open mic in the West Valley, this is at Roman's Oasis in Goodyear, Arizona. It's a bi-weekly mic.
It's a bi-weekly mic. Take the 10 west to the 303. Get off of the 303 south and take a left on
I think it's
Yuma.
Yuma.
Yep. Yeah. Take a left on Yuma. It's right next. It's across the street from the Jack in the Box, Taco Bell, and the Target.
Yeah. It's gonna look like a fucking.
It's gonna look
a
like
legitimate old saloon.
Old timey saloon.
So
probably,
great.
Honestly, Roman's Oasis is such a good name for it because it is such an oasis. I've never been inside. I'm waiting.
Are
for
you serious?
Sunday. I told you, Bubba.
You know how it goes, man. I forget shit.
I told you, Bubba. I'm waiting for us to go for the first time for me to be
really
inside
cool.
Roman's Oasis.
Yeah, it's very, very entertaining just to be in there. And there's going to be a lot of good people, man. A lot of comedians are going to come out and do a set. The crowd is going to be fucking wild and ready for comedy. There's going to be a poker tournament happening in the other room.
No way, really?
Yeah, and so like when the poker tournament ends, they're going to fucking probably filter in and listen to us do comedy too. It's just going to be a great night. And it's not in the other room, meaning like that we can hear what they're going on too. Once you're inside, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I haven't been in there, but I've driven past it my entire life.
Yeah, of course. It's been there since there was anything built right there.
yeah, dude, it's the longest running building there.
Great
honestly,
people.
Honestly, great food too.
Oh my, fire food. Now the kitchen will probably be closed at the time we're doing the open mic and stuff, so you know you got to come real early if you want to get that young kitschy. But
at the same time, it's not like it's a bad spot to hang out.
No, but you know, word from you know, one of the people at Roman's, I'm not going to name drop because it's not important, did inform me that, you know, if it is popular enough consistently, they will open the kitchen for the open mic specifically.
Really?
Because why wouldn't you want to, right?
Yeah,
when
right?
you drink, you want to eat, dog.
Absolutely.
I'm hungry as fuck right now.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and this is perfect timing because we're coming up on an hour and a half, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This has been a very easy podcast.
Yeah.
You know, me and you talk just like how we talk pretty much anytime we smoke. So this was it wasn't even a podcast. It's like we just had a conversation outside of the car.
Dude, I fucking, dude, honestly, when you and I and everyone else went to California, that drive was probably, the drive over and drive back was the easiest I have ever done a 5-hour drive in my
really entire was
life.
Pure entertainment the whole way,
dude. We were just talking to each other.
Yeah,
we're just all like Derek McFarland, Joshua Harrison, Bubba McComb, and Tristan.
Yeah,
all sitting in a fucking car, just goofing off,
just
the
roasting each other,
just roasting
the
each
whole
other,
time.
Making characters for each other, yeah. Just coming up with taglines, smoking blunts, eating food, dude. I couldn't honestly do a show better. Like, it was probably the most fun I've ever done stand up.
Yeah, that was an experience.
That
you
was
know what
an
I mean?
Absolute. I remember me and Derek going over there by ourselves and stuff like that. And even then, it was just so much fucking fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it doesn't feel like work, man. And
it doesn't.
It's not work because no one's getting paid. So it's really not work, but you're working towards.
Dude, it's community service hours.
Right, right. It's like an unpaid internship. You're just learning and learning and learning until the world feels like being, you know, or the company or this being the world feels like you're worth paying.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's how I got to see it. And I've never had like a moment of like, man, you know, it's just fucking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to want to do this for as long as it has to take to get, you know, paid. I don't, dude, that's what's cool about this shit is I love it, dude. So it doesn't fucking matter to me right now at
all.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter
at
if
all.
I'm not getting paid.
No, I lose money doing comedy constantly.
Yeah.
Because I spend money I don't have.
Fine. Yeah. It's okay. I'm fine. Dude, yeah. People don't understand how okay it is to be in the red when it comes to devoting yourself to something you care about.
Yeah, it's scary as fuck.
Scary as fuck. I've been negative in my bank account more times than I can fucking remember putting gas in my car to get to open mics and stuff like that.
Right.
And then I get a $25 charge and my mom yells at me and then we have to solve it and it's a whole thing.
Yes.
It's practically monthly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my mom is going to kill me soon. I'm sure of it. If I don't.
Oh, dude, my mom is my biggest fan, man.
Oh, dude, your mom is great.
I love her, dude.
And I love that you use your mom's real name in your joke, too. And, like, mostly no one knows who your mom is. But it's
Shannon.
Let's keep it organic as fuck. You know what I mean?
It's Shannon.
Right.
Yeah.
and that's a perfect white mom name.
I know, right? You never think, in the same way you never think of, like, when you hear Tristan, you think it's, like, a white
Essentially, yeah.
You know? And when you hear Shannon, it's like, oh, that's a white woman.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no mistaking. And it just so happens that it goes perfectly with the joke you integrate her with.
Oh, she's
fantastic. Shout out to Hooters, dude.
She fucking laughs so hard every time she comes to a show. Like, every time, I literally have, like, seen her with, like, her hands over her mouth and, like, tears in her eyes.
That's awesome, dude.
And I'm just like, oh, dude. Mostly because I'm just shitting on my grandma.
Yeah.
And my mom is just like, I get it. Because she has to deal with her every day.
Right, dude. Yeah, a little bit of relativity finally, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I'm just like, literally every time I go up on stage, my mom's like, what's your set list? And I go through it and she's like, are you gonna end with the grandma stuff?
Yeah. please end with the grandma. I need to feel something.
Dude, absolutely. It's so fucking, dude, I love, dude, honestly, one of the things that I'm looking forward to is just like being able to have enough money to get them a house.
That would be fucking great.
They don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, that'd be great. I have a way more selfish goal than that. But
no,
that's admirable
I would rather buy them a house and move into it because I don't have enough money to do anything else.
Okay.
Than get a house for myself.
That actually might be a better idea. But my mom and my dad, they're never moving out of the house they have right now, dude. So
no, I know where my parents want to live.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not here?
No.
Yeah.
They want to live in Skinny Atlas, New York.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. It's one of the,
like,
largest.
Way upstate or whatever?
Way
where it's all green
state,
and shit?
One of the only freshwater lakes in America.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, you can literally go underwater there in the lake, take a pond dive, swim, and fucking take a big gulp of water. And as long as you don't catch a fish,
right,
or like some straight seaweed, it's fresh water, dude.
That's
like,
crazy.
We
man.
Used to rent a cabin there, on like during the summers and stuff like that, and it was fucking amazing.
I've never been anywhere like that. I've been to Florida, and that was like the most green I've ever seen. And that
where'd you go in Florida?
Well, my mom took me when I graduated high school. She took me to Florida because that's where I wanted to go because I was like really into skateboarding and I was like sponsored and shit. And
yeah, I did not know that about
you.
You were sponsored for skateboarding
a couple different times in my life. Yeah,
that's awesome, man. Congratulations.
It all ended tragically, but it's okay. Yeah, it's all right, man. I don't even skateboard anymore now because my fucking back is all fucked up and I'm really scared that I'll hurt it. I don't have insurance and all that good stuff, so
yeah, I feel that.
I'm living that life, you know what I mean? No, but yeah. My mom took me out there because she knew I wanted to go skate all that shit, and so we went and stayed in like a suburb, I guess, of Orlando called Claremont. Yeah, Claremont.
I know Claremont.
Yeah, and then we went to Cocoa Beach and hit that skate park on the beach. It was fucking fantastic. I went to Tampa and skated the skate park of Tampa, where the Tampa Am happens every fucking every year. And then I went to the Van skate park at the Orlando Mall or whatever, which was really cool. And then went to a couple of other places, man. The spot in Tampa as well as like an outside park, and they had like a death wall that no one ever like drops into, and I dropped into it and survived, and it was like really cool. But like, that's the only place I've ever been to that was
cool, dude.
Yeah, it was the only place that I've ever been to that was that green, like no rocks at all. There was no gravel anywhere.
I used to live in Celebration, dude. I know what you
mean.
That's
a town? That's a city?
Yeah.
It's called Celebration?
Called Celebration, Florida.
That's sick as fuck. Yeah, it was fucking incredible, and I've never been somewhere that green again. Like, the closest I got to that was, like, Golden Gate Park, you know?
Dude, I used to, when I was really young and in Florida, I used to drop acid when I was, like, 15. I used to drop...
That's young.
Yeah, I used to drop acid. And I used to skate through. They had these. It was almost like a 2x4, like paved wooden trail going through like the woods, connecting several lakes.
Gotcha. Well, don't you like ride your bike on and shit?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But me and my friends would just like be high on acid, skating full speed through it, and it's beautiful, dude.
Yeah.
It's like it's such a good memory. Thank
you. That's what's up,
it.
Man.
I still have so many friends in Florida, like Felipe, Hunter, Sean Bowers.
Shouts out.
Yeah.
Shouts out.
Big shouts out. Like, Hunter Freeman, dude. Like, he has. All right. Let me pull up something real quick. He has an Instagram. Specifically, he's a bodybuilder. Like, he went from. He went to high school in the same high school I went to when we went to elementary school together.
Okay.
He was always a really tall guy. He was just skinny and stuff like that. But then he got super into bodybuilding. I remember.
So he's like super depressed then?
No, he was just like.
Yes, he is, Tristan.
Is he? Really?
Bodybuilders are depressed people, dude.
Well, I didn't know that.
I love your friend though. Congrats on the dedication. Continue, please.
No, so like he what's it called? I remember this one time we were staying the night. I think we were staying the night at this house, or either that. We used to do this tradition. It was called Chipotle Fridays.
Okay.
Where
God, that's so fucking white, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Go on.
I know it's really white.
Jesus.
Yeah. It was Florida. Our town was called Celebration. It was right next to Disney World.
Give me a fucking life.
Break. All right,
go on. Fucking Jesus, dude.
So, we used to go every week to a Chipotle in a comic book store. Yeah, it was really fucking sick.
That's metal, dude. Go on.
It was really cool. And I remember this one time, I think afterwards, we all lived in the same community, so we all skateboarded over to his house. This is when he was like still in football and stuff like that.
In high school?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, not even high school, like in elementary school.
Oh, okay. So really young.
Yeah, really young. Like we were all like in like seventh or eighth grade. And he mentioned that he started lifting weights and stuff like that. And so they used to have weight training in high school, in the local high school that was Celebration High School that we had and stuff like that. And he was already interested in going into it and stuff like that. He had talked to people and he just completely like yoked up. Like, dude, his Instagram lifting dude, look at him. He's a fucking maniac.
He's a pretty big dude. He's pretty
he's yoked.
Yeah, he's yoked.
He's fucking, you see that beard?
I will say,
you can't fake that fucking beard.
You can't fake the beard. You really can't. That's a great beard.
Fucking beard.
I'm gonna say I was expecting so much more than that,
dude,
man. I'm not gonna lie, dude.
Check out that transformation, though.
Transformation's great. He's in great shape.
I remember that boy on the right.
Right. No, the transformation is what makes it so crazy. But you know, he just looks like a normal guy that goes to the gym. You know, that's like cares about himself.
That being said, he's 20 years old. Maybe less than that. He's like 19.
Oh, then that means he's got a lot of problems to dig up, dude, in about 5 years. That
Why
he's
are you trying to show
him I'm not, because, dude, I want to. Does that make sense to you?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
All right, dude, my homie Parker right here, Parker XXX. All right, that's a bodybuilder right there, my G.
Yeah, no. He takes roids blood.
Dude, he'd fucking right hook your entire neck off your head if he wanted to.
Dude, I'm sorry.
And he's a third degree black belt in fucking some crazy ass form of Kenpo.
All right, first off, how old is he?
26.
Oh, okay. So he has 6 years on my buddy. 6 years worth of lifting straight.
No.
Just lifting every single fucking day.
This is like maybe like three, four years, dude. Of just straight dedication, dude. It's just that's what happens when you're actually dedicated. You know what I mean?
Why are you, dude? I feel
you
like.
You know what I fucking mean, dog?
I feel like
20-year-old dedication ain't the same, homie!
Dude, why are you shitting on my squam, bro?
I don't know, man. This is so unnecessary. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
hey, Tristan's friends. Dude, keep up your healthy lifestyle. I really support you.
Yeah, he's
you know?
Active. You know what I mean?
I know. And he probably gets, like, really good pussy, whatever. But, like, you know, just keep
imagine
up.
How big his dick is.
That's what I'm saying. It's probably not.
What are you talking about? That's all wrong.
That's probably not, bro. You know what I mean?
That's lean power right there.
That's why people get into weightlifting, to compensate for something. I don't know if it's mental.
Absolutely not.
I think so, bro. I think you need to have him send a dick pic, dude. No homo. We just need to evaluate this motherfucker.
Dude, I'm going
to
hit him up.
Hit him up for real.
Don't you even fucking make me, dude.
And, dude, if he sends one and proves me wrong, I will gladly be proven wrong.
I'm telling you right now that dude ain't got shit going on down there. First and foremost,
yes.
I'm going to send this link to the podcast when it goes up into my Florida group chat.
Yes.
First off, I already know we got that BDE in the fucking group chat.
Okay.
Because Felipe and Kevin have a hammer blood.
Is that Felipe or Kevin you just showed me?
No, it's not.
Makes sense then.
Fuck you, dude.
Are they bodybuilders, dude?
No, they're not.
Then perfect.
They're respectable gentlemen.
They
just
probably
like
have
this man right
giant
here.
Giant dicks then. You're probably right, bro. But
they got hammer's blood.
And I believe you, man. But that guy does not have a hammer. I will bet my life on it. I will sign a contract right now.
Dude, I wish I had a fucking piece of paper with my own blood written in text. Because I feel like that's the only...
Dick pic.
I want to see it, too. I want to see... It's National Geographic shit.
Right, it's not for science.
It's learning.
I literally have never been sexually attracted to a penis, and if I ever had, I would gladly admit it, because I'm just real deal Holyfield out here, dude. But this is for fucking science, and to be... Me and my sense of judgment needs to be validated, and I'm pretty good at it. I'm almost guaranteeing that guy has nothing more than an absolute mediocre dick.
Dude, I bet he has depth to his fucking cock, bro. I bet he has...
This shit looks like a fucking stomach sausage. You understand
dude,
me?
Shit hits fathoms in pussy, dude. He's going deep later.
I'm just really, really, really entertained at how aggressively you're defending your homie's dick size.
Because I love him. He's a great man.
I would never say he's not.
I don't check the group chat often, but that being said, I love all of them.
Yeah, dude, listen, you need to keep these things separate, bro. I'm sure he's a great guy.
Never.
And he'll be a great father someday. Maybe. But
However, if he...
Probably
dude,
not
do
a
you know
big
what?
Dick.
Do you know why he won't be a great father? Because his dick is so big that he's just shooting straight loads into stomach acid. You know what I mean?
That could be a problem.
He's just fucking bobbing and weaving through intestines.
Do you think that
like that?
He goes so deep into them that once he like shoots, it's just like an arrow into the egg? Like, all the sperm actually enter the egg, and then they fight inside of it for the last man shit?
Every time he busts, a girl gets heartburn.
Goddamn.
Yeah, dude.
I got Loki have heartburn right now.
He's going to come on her aorta.
I wonder if he has a voodoo doll, dude.
Dude, I hope so.
Cause I think he's giving me heartburn right now because I'm feeling it, dude.
It's that occasion shit.
Oh, my God. Am I gay?
I think so.
I think I am. All right. guys, this has been another episode of the Hella Tired podcast.
How long is this one?
This one's like just over an hour and a half, maybe hour 40 or so.
I was about to say, I was trying to make it to the 2-hour mark, make it like a Joe Rogan type thing.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't have to be. I genuinely try to make it a point to keep it under 2 hours because there has been 3 or 4 hour episodes I've had. And
yeah, I feel
and
like
they
it's a
have
lot.
The least amount of listens. And
yeah.
So that means someone stops caring at a certain time.
Yeah, let's stop before they stop caring.
I think under two or up to two is perfect, and I will not give a fuck if it ever reached two. But you know, me and you probably have the attention span of probably pretty equative. It's really
like,
hard for me to listen to more than 2 hours of anything unless it's my favorite shit on earth.
Yeah,
and I don't know if I have anybody out there like that right now. You know what I mean? But it's coming. All right, dude. So please take another moment to plug up all your shit. Let us know where we can fucking find you. Let us know what you're doing.
You can
You
can find me on Tristan is a Comedian on Instagram. There I'm Tristan Bowling. You can also find me on Twitter as I load it up. I think my name is, at Tristan_Bowling. You can find me at Baby Boy.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun putting out more stuff on my SoundCloud. There I'm also Baby Boy.
Mm-hmm.
You can just look up Buckeye Road Remix and you can hear the new track I put out and stuff like that. Please listen to it. If you, honestly, I would like all criticism. You know what I mean? I want to know what I can do to make a good track.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So if you don't, if you like it, sick. If you don't like it, tell me why.
Yeah.
And besides that, I mean, I'm just, hopefully I have good shit coming out soon.
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday at the Sweet Sucks Tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there at 10:30.
And also.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Go. No, let's go into the ASMR. Let's go into the ASMR. Let me first and foremost say thank you to listening to the podcast. Let me do some snaps around the microphone. You can come to my open mic every Monday at CB Live, 7:30. It's when the show starts. Get there around 7 o'clock. It'll be a lot of fun. I think I host a fun show. It's a bucket list. But while other shows have a single bucket, we have four with several other types of categories. Let me just wet my whistle real quick.
Oh my god. Stop, dude. Stop.
You don't like that?
No.
No. But it's really hard to whisper like this.
I know.
So can you stop with my microphone? I'm gonna die.
Okay. Oh my fucking god, dude. Oh my fucking god.
Okay, so like you said, you can get Tristan every Thursday at This Week Sucks Tonight. Live.
Yeah, I'll be there.
And then, you know, make sure that if you are feeling so inclined to subscribe to the podcast, I have options for $1, $5, or $10 a month, and it would really mean a lot if you could help me
out. Oh, you have a Patreon?
No. It's actually a subscription through anchor.fm, and it gives me money when you give me money, and that really helps, because if you don't know, I don't make any money. So
you've never made any money, isn't that true?
No, I've made a lot of money, but I'm not making any of that money right
now. Oh, so you're rich?
No, quite the opposite, actually. I'm I've never in my life had less money, but
than right now.
However, I'm having a good time, and I'm really quote-unquote trusting the process, and I'm trying to be really white girl about it. So
let's wrap this up, because I gotta pee and poop at the same time.
I'm trying to wrap it up, but you won't shut the fuck up, dude.
All right, do you mind if I just walk out and pee and poo?
No, hold on.
Alright, everybody, thank you so much for another episode of the Hella Tired Podcast. I have been your host, Bubba McComb, a.k.a. Sad Boy Shinobi, a.k.a. Willy Wonka's Wonder, a.k.a. The Suffering Succotash, a.k.a. The Wailing Whale Mailman. I love you guys very much, and stay tuned for another episode next week.